It's like family land. So technically there's something Appalachian up in me, but
interesting.
We've been removed enough from it.
Mm-hmm. You've lost the...
I lost it. Still in the blood. I lost it, guys, but my grandfather loves bluegrass, and every time I talk about the show, he goes, I should tune in. I'm like, yes, you should.
Aww.
He's definitely in the middle of working whenever I'm playing this, though, because he goes to work at like 6 a.m.
You can send him the recording.
Maybe. He'll like it.
Definitely.
Okay, anyways.
So, okay, let me make a quick... Or maybe I should switch. No, I'll make a quick spiel about those last two songs, and then... We are going to have to play a PSA and do an intro because Mukti is starting right now.
Yay.
But Black Waters is a really great illustrative song of the environmental impact of coal mining. So plethora of environmental impacts, as you all can imagine. But particularly having to do with water, coal mining alters the like watershed, especially mountaintop removal. So when they're like blasting mountains to clear space for mining, they dump all of the excess, so like whatever they exploded, into streams. So it changes the entire water table. And then like the coal itself and the mining processes like will dump toxic metals and various other chemicals and components into streams. So the Black Waters is something that people probably saw because of these like excess products, and as you can imagine, have a lot of negative health impacts, more than just black lung. People who aren't even miners will experience like COPD and other lung and health issues. Air pollution also comes about due to like all of the byproducts of coal and burning coal. So yeah, overall, it's definitely a human and a health issue, but also an overall environmental issue. And the process itself, you know, you're just digging into the land or blowing up the mountaintop. Like, you can imagine what impacts that would have on other human and non-human species. And if this interests you,
you should come on Tuesday to the Art Sociology Building because 17 for Peace and Justice is our, like, campus environmental justice-oriented club. It is super unique. We're the only one that exists. Of course, there's other EJ clubs in general, but we are the only...
We're the only student-run EJ organization, so there's not really...
There we go. There we go. But it's super cool. We do a lot of teach-ins. We have a bunch of subcommittees that are out there trying to do work and make a difference in environmental justice specifically. Yeah, and you should come by. We're a part of AIM, if you know what that is. And if you don't, you can Google it. But yeah, learn more.
The anti-imperialist movement. You forgot what the
Google
acronym
it.
Is. Okay. We're going to take a break and play a quick PSA because it is 10 o'clock. So this is WWC Digital, College Park. You are now listening to Mukti/Sprawling Roots.
Woohoo!
How much physical activity do you get? The average adult is supposed to get at least 2.5 hours of moderate aerobic activity and 2 days of muscle strengthening exercises per week. That sounds like a ton of time for the average college student trying to balance homework, internships, studying, clubs, friends, and sleeping, right? Well, if you break up your exercise routine into a few minutes here and there each week, it becomes way more manageable and you'll feel stronger, healthier, and more focused. Some easy ways to do this are taking the stairs instead of the elevator, going to a fun dance class at the ERC, or enjoying the great outdoors by running or biking on the Lake Artemisia Trail.
All right, that covers our PSA.
What a great PSA. You guys should all go to Body Pump.
Yeah.
Plug for Body Pump.
Well, if you went to... Well, no, it's not a paid... Not a paid promotion. If you have such an interest, it is available to you.
If you're
you should not do anything.
We're being very proper here.
Yeah, we're being
also correct.
No promotions on this show. All right. So, if you've been listening the whole time, then you already know what we're talking about. If you just tuned in, we're doing an episode on Appalachian coal mining. And we just played Black Waters by Gene Ritchie, Blue Diamond Mines. And now we're going to go into Coal Miner's Daughter by Loretta Lynn. Mm-hmm. It's definitely reflecting the themes that Beck was talking about, like the generational kind of songs. And then we're going to do, okay, yeah, Clay County Miner by the Crooked Pine Band and Coal Mining Man by Ricky Skaggs. Hope you enjoy.
Well, I was born to coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines. All day long in the field of hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the babies at night and read the Bible by the coal oil light. And everything would start off come break of morn. Daddy loved and raised their kids on a miner's pay. Mommy scrubbed our clothes on a washboard every day. Why, I've seen her fingers bleed to complain there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding way. In the summertime, we didn't have shoes to wear. But in the wintertime, we'd all get a brand new pair. From a mail order catalog, money made from selling a hog. Daddy always managed to get the money somewhere.
Don't get rich loading coal. He's a sick man 'cause that coal dust took its stand. And he don't expect to get no help from that operator man. So it's goodbye, old timer. I guess our time has come. Those water holes, that dirty coal dust eating out our lungs. Leave this world just as poor as the day we saw the sun. Well, it's goodbye, old timer. Our mining days are done. I remember the time when I could load more coal than any man. Now my health is gone, buried down in that dirty coal grind. They've taken away my rights, privileged to be a man. But I know that I can't tell all that to that operator man. So it's goodbye, old timer. I guess our time has come. Those water holes, that dirty coal dust eating out our lungs. Leave this world just as poor as the day we saw the sun. So it's goodbye, old timer. Our mining days are done. talk about our mining days when we got grown and big. But now we're old broken men that don't need us around. We gave our lives to make them rich, now they won't give us a dime. So it's goodbye, old timer, I guess our time has come. Those water holes, that dirty coal dust eating out our lungs. We'll leave this world just as poor as the day we saw the sun. So it's goodbye, old timer, our mining days are done.
Life for the mining man is fun to me. Back is gone. His 60 years are plainly shown. Lived half his life down in the ground. The cold steel hammer rings a mournful sound. Daylight or dark, in rain or shine, it don't much matter. The tunnel's deep or the air gets thin. That's a way of life for the mining man. I'll tell you, son, he said to me, there's just two things I pray to see. That's the day my Savior calls me home, and to see my son stop mining coal. Oh, Daddy dear, I'll tell you true, there's nothing else for me to do but to make my living underneath this land and live and die, coal mining man. Daylight or dark, in rain or shine, it don't much matter down in the mine. Where the tunnel's deep or the air gets thin, that's a way of life for the mining man.
Since we're paid off in checks on the company store. Those great coal monopolies are growing apace. They're making their millions by grinding our face. Until their high prices, the people pay toll, while they pay 50 cents for mining their coal.
They keep cutting our wages time after time. Where we once had a dollar, we now have a dime. While our souls are near famished and our bodies are sore, we aren't paid off in checks on the company store. Though hard we may labor, but little we have, we are robbed of our rights, though we fought for the slave. Monopoly keeps grasping for more and still more. They will soon own the earth through the company store. The old pirates and brigands who fought hand to hand, who would scuttle a ship or pillage the land, have formed a collusion and all come ashore, and now ply their trade through the company store. But when these old worthies are called to their doom, I think honest business will enjoy a great boom. And when they are finally called from our shore, I hope they'll take with them the company store.
So that was one of my favorite songs of the episode. I just heard it while doing research for this, so didn't know it before, but it was originally written by Isaac Hanna in 1895. It was the company store. This version was by Tim Erickson and Riley Baugus. But it, yeah, super old song, one of like the original kind of like protest songs. And it was cited as one of the battle hymns of Blair Mountain, which is a super important event that I will get to, I think, a little later on, just to space it out. But again, very explicitly talking about the conditions and their dislike of the company store and all of the labor exploitation that they experienced. So that was a really, really good one and really old. So it shows how long people have been fighting this and how long they've been making music about it. Mm-hmm. And music really went hand in hand with all of the resistance people had to King Cole. Now, a little more background context before I get into the idea of Blair Mountain, which was like the kind of culminating moment of resistance to the labor exploitation around coal mining. The Coal Wars were a series of armed labor conflicts fought between the late 1800s to early 1900s between the miners who unionized and the companies, and eventually the government got involved at different levels. So we'll see in the following songs a lot of mention of resistance, mention of specific battles or specific moments, and then I'll explain a little bit more about the specific event. Mm-hmm. But if you have anything else to add, I'll continue with Coal Tattoo by Hazel Dickens and Coal Creek March, covered by Pete Seeger.
Somebody said that's a strange tattoo you have on the side of your head. Said that's a blue mark left by the coal. Little more than I'd have been dead. I like the rumble, I like the dark blood, I like the blue of the sleigh. But it's going down that new road looking for a job. Traveling and looking ahead. Traveling and looking ahead. Thank you. number 9 coal. Well, someday when I'm dead and gone, heaven, the land of my dreams, won't have to worry about losing my job, hard times and big machines. Won't have to pay my money away on dues and hospital plans. I'm gonna cut coal where the blue heavens roll. Sang with the angel band, sang with the angel band. Well, I'm traveling on down that coal town road. Listen to my rubber tires whine. Goodbye to Buckeye, White Sycamore. I'm leaving you behind.
The best banjo picker I know in the whole United States is a carpenter by trade, lives in Ohio. Him how come it got the name Coal Creek March, and he says, oh, that's when they sent the militia down to Coal Creek, Tennessee. He said they had a whole lot of songs down there. I had another song made up one time there was an explosion in the coal mine. Payday, payday. From someone else down in Tennessee, I learned the whole story of Coal Creek. It happened way back in the 1890s. The miners had been trying to organize. The coal operators pulled off a real slick deal. They paid the state government and got state prisoners, convicts, to work in the mines. Well, the miners protested, said it wasn't fair for convict labor to be competing with free labor. They couldn't organize under those conditions. The governor didn't pay any attention to their petitions, so one dark night, several hundred miners walked down to the prison stockade, and at gunpoint, they demanded the warden free all the prisoners. They burnt down the stockade, helped the prisoners escape across to the state borders. Well, for 4 years, they called it the Coal Creek Rebellion. The governor sent down troops from Knoxville, and some of the battles had as many as 2,000 or 3,000 people in it. Of course, the miners won every battle but the last one. They were actually starved into submission. And the whole thing looked like they'd lost the struggle against the convict labor system. But as so often happens in American history, the fact that they'd put up a struggle got them some publicity. The all around Tennessee people became aware of this convict labor system, and a new governor was elected with a plank in his platform of getting rid of the convict labor's contracts. And he did. So all turned out well in the end. And there was a song down there that told more of the story.
All right, I'm going to end it there, but I really wanted everyone to listen to that story told by Pete Seeger. So interesting. So, like, intersectional, so much solidarity between, like, the struggle of the miners and, like, convict labor. And I feel like there's just so much crazy history and, like, political ties with this whole movement that could be explored in, like, this is already a 2-hour episode and we're running out of time.
We're like deleting songs left and right. But I'm also thinking, I don't know, I hear that and I'm like, wow, yeah, songs that commemorate a lost battle, here we go again.
That's like another theme. We can make that a whole another episode.
Super big.
But yeah, okay. So that was a Coal Creek March / Payday at Coal Creek / Roll Down the Line, which I did not play Roll Down the Line. That was by Pete Seeger. He collected a lot of folk songs and he was another like prolific person, although he wasn't, I don't think he's really from Appalachia.
No.
Before that was Hazel Dickens, and I was just reading her bio on Spotify and she's super interesting. Let me see if I can pull it up again. Yeah, so she was the 8th of 11 children in a large poor mining family in West Virginia. And she learned about music from her father, an occasional banjo player and Baptist minister. And she moved to Baltimore where she worked in a factory with her sister and two brothers, because of like dire poverty, they had to were forced to migrate. And then she became active in the folk bluegrass movement around Baltimore, Washington, D.C.
Beautiful bluegrass coming out of Baltimore.
So interesting. Yeah. Super local. I did not know that she was Baltimore. I'm not as surprised about, but D.C. too. Like she's local. But yeah, so she's another person that I know Beck really likes.
I do.
Her music, and we had her a couple times in the episode, so I wanted to include her again. And Cold Tattoo is another one of my favorites from the episode, which was the one before this. But yeah, let me give some more background about the coal wars. One of like the coal conflicts was talked about in the last song, like the Coal Creek March. The first like instrumental part was originally by Doc Boggs. So he was one of the originators of Hillbilly Bluegrass, a blend of Appalachian folk and African-American blues that uses both picking and furling techniques, according to a Medium article by... Give me a second.
We'll find it.
Coyote Wallace. I knew it was some like...
Love that. I love that name.
Interesting name. And
I love that feeling.
I was talking to him on Medium and like all his articles, like they're all like these leftist themes, but he uses like a picture of coyote for each of them. So just like coyote.
Coyotes. Yeah, I'm going to catch him.
Yeah, no, I feel like definitely big... Big Beck vibes. Anyway, so okay, now we're getting off topic. Oh my gosh, there's still so much to
cover. Lock in.
So yeah, Coal Creek March. I was one of like the coal wars, a lot of different conflicts, and then like the culminating conflict was the Battle of Blair Mountain. So this is the largest armed labor conflict in the history of the U.S. and the largest armed conflict since the Civil War. 10,000 miners marched in protest of their deplorable work and living conditions and suppression and violence against them, and it was especially like sparred by the murder of Sid Hatfield and Ed Chambers, who I think Sid was like a police chief who was like in favor of the unions and the miners, and they're killed for their allegiance with the union. Ultimately the miners lost this battle and to the police and the U.S. Army who were like called in, but their effort is definitely a testament to the power of the working class and unions. And just like to summarize all of this, like, yeah, the miners unionized, the companies didn't like that, government tried to crack down. And I read this fact and I like looked it up because I was like, there's no way this could be. So multiple sources.
So funny, by the way, that you, this, the one that you highlighted, like right here, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, see. Okay. Say it.
Okay. So according to a few different articles, I mean, it's hard to trace this back and know the exact origin, but the term redneck came from how like union men wore red bandanas And it was seen as like a communist symbol. And the red bandanas were a way to like unite people across like different like ethnic groups together for like the union struggle. And yeah, they're definitely considered communist for getting together as a working class and demanding a better life despite like differences.
This what are you about to say? Really funny to me because in my opinion, when you are in this folk region, like folk music bubble, this is something everybody knows.
Oh yeah, I had no idea. I mean, the story that I heard is just like white people that like work outside so get sunburned on the back of their neck.
Yeah,
that's, I think I'm like pretty sure that's the dominant narrative, which I mean it could have come from like two different things, like I'm sure people use that term like with that as that background idea, but like yeah, it seems like redneck was a term used against them because of like the union allegiance.
So guys, when you hear fun facts, talk to your friends about it, because apparently every fun fact is a new fact for somebody else. This is my plug for spreading knowledge, because I love fun facts.
So like,
tell me fun
approximately
facts.
Five people that's on the hopeful side who are listening, like submit your comments of if you knew this fact or not.
We'll take calls.
Yeah,
wait, don't call us, because I get so stressed.
Oh yeah, don't call the station. Beck had to figure that out last semester, and I know it
did not go well. Anyways,
yeah. Okay, let's move on to okay, we'll do three more songs relating to like Union and the Battle of Blair Mountain and like the Coal Wars in general. Then we'll break and play a couple more. Fingers crossed we have enough time for everything. This is like,
we might have to delete more songs, guys.
Yeah.
A shore who left trouble in a dark and dusty mine has been my occupation. Now I walk the picket line. I was down in bloody Harlem when they tried to organize. The miners faced starvation. You could see. Dead to
good old Union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
My daddy was a miner, and I'm a miner's son. And I'll stick with the Union till every battle's won.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Oh, workers, can you stand it? Oh, tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man?
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Don't scab for the bosses, don't listen to their lies. Us poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize.
Which side are you on?
Find a vein. Drain the black gold, hoping to God that the timbers hold. Like my father before me, it's all I know. We live only to harvest the coal, to harvest the coal. Mine owner's mercy, about as shallow as a grave. Living in shanty towns, we ain't got no say. 14-hour shifts in such a meager wage, and Mother Jones can't help us now anyway. Anyway, we'll take the roads, we'll take the train. So deliver us, Lord, from the gathering storm. Lay down your Bibles, take up your gun, Blair Mountain. Here we come, here we come. Tell us what side you're on. Yeah, we're the rednecks of the Union 1921. We leave tonight 13,000 strong and take the fight to Blair Mountain before the dawn.
All right, I'm ending that a little short just for the interest of time, but that was The Battle of Blair Mountain by Louise Mosery. So I think it's an older song than that. That was like a modern iteration that wasn't as like folksy. But the message, very clear, giving us the history of Blair Mountain. And she claims it was 13,000 strong, so maybe even more than 10,000, according to the folk rendition of this battle. But yeah, definitely mentions red bandanas and the rednecks. So you guys can see like the themes of like labor and organizing through all of these songs. Quickly moving ahead, we're going to play two songs, John Henry and Casey Jones. I think in that order, Casey Jones and then John Henry by Pete Seeger and the Almanac Singers, and then John Henry by Johnny Cash. Special edition of Johnny Cash, because I know my dad's listening and he loves him. But these are not coal songs, these are actually railroad songs. But as Beck mentioned in the beginning, I mean, the two are
Really deeply
tied
entwined.
Together. Yes, yeah. Very entwined.
Also very important to understand, Casey Jones, I think both of them are. They, if you don't know very much about folk music in general, a lot of these songs
weren't penned by the people who sing them. Some of them are, but most of them are covers or reiterations of it, or they're folk stories that have a name that is taken over and they tell different stories about it. John Hendry is one of them. Johnny Cash sings this very famous rendition of it, but there are so many stories about John Hendry and songs about him, including this from other artists, that it's passed along. People do covers and they trade, and they'll change the meaning to suit what's happening in that time best. Casey Jones is really iconic because it's only about unionization and the trains. Super cool, though.
Yeah, exactly. Good point with, like, all them kind of being renditions. But yeah, The Legend of John Hendry, I won't talk about Casey Jones because honestly I don't really know. But John Hendry, when it comes on, he was a black steel driver for the CNO, or Chesapeake and Ohio Railway, in the 1870s. And the song tells a story of how he beat the steam drill and then died of exhaustion at the end. I think we're only going to play the first half, so I'm spoiling it for y'all. I'm sorry, okay? I don't know what to say.
One more, but
we don't have that much time.
We're really running short. Casey Jones is super fun because, unlike talking about a union member or someone who was suffering or putting up, it's actually kind of a shame song. It is pointing out somebody who doesn't stand with the people he works with. It's pointing out somebody who isn't standing with the workers, standing together, and shaming him, putting humiliation to him and saying, you know what? You're willing to do all these things to workers on this train line. You're willing to do it to the angels. You're willing to do it anywhere. You would throw anyone under the bus. And because of that, you're going to go to hell.
Oh, Casey Jones.
Great
song,
though. Super
funny. Let's give it a listen, everyone.
The workers on the SB line for strikes are out of call. But Casey Jones, the engineer, he wouldn't strike at all. His boiler, it was leaking, and the driver's on the bum. And the engines and the bear, and they were all out of plumb.
Casey Jones
kept his junk pile running.
Casey Jones
was working double time.
Casey Jones
got a wooden medal for being good and faithful on the SB line. The worker said to Casey, won't you help us win this strike? But Casey said, let me alone, you'd better take a hike. Well, Casey's wheezy engine ran right off the wheezy track, and Casey hit the river with an awful smack.
Casey Jones
hit the river bottom.
Casey Jones
broke his bloomin' spine.
Casey Jones
turned into an angel. He got a trip to heaven on the SB line. When Casey got to heaven, way up to that pearly gate, he said, I'm Casey Jones, the guy that pulled the SP freight. You're just the man, said Peter, our musicians are on strike. You can get a job of scabbing anytime you like.
Casey Jones
got a job in heaven.
Casey Jones
was doing mighty fine.
Casey Jones
went scabbing on the angels, just like he did to workers on the SP line. Well, the angels got together, they said it wasn't fair for Casey Jones to go around a scabbing everywhere. The angels, union number 23, they sure were there. They promptly fired Casey down the golden stair.
Casey Jones,
I went to hell a flying.
Casey Jones,
the devil said opine.
Casey Jones,
get busy shoveling sulfurs, what you get for scabbing on the SB line.
John Henry's pappy woke him up one midnight. He said, before the sheriff comes, I want to tell you, listen, boy. Said, learn to ball a jack, learn to lay a track, learn to pick and shovel too, and take my hammer, it'll do anything you tell it to. John Henry's mammy had about a dozen babies. John Henry's pappy broke tail about a dozen times. The babies all got sick, and when the doctor wanted money, he said, I'll pay you a quarter at a time. Start tomorrow. That's a pay for a steel driver on his line.
Then the section foreman said, "Hey, hammer swinger, I see you brought your own hammer, boy, but what else can all them muscles do?" And he said, "I can turn a jack, I can lay a track, I can pick and shovel too.
Can you swing a hammer, boy?"
"Yes, sir, I'll do anything you hire me to."
"Now, ain't you something so high and mighty with your muscles? Just go ahead, boy, and pick up that hammer. Pick up the hammer."
He said, "Get a rusty spike and swing it down 3 times. I'll pay you a nickel a day for every inch you sink into. Go on and do what you say you can do." With a steep-nosed hammer on a 4-foot switch handle, John Henry raised it back till it touched his heels, and the spike went through the cross tie and it split it half in two. 35 cents paid for driving steel.
"Sweat, sweat, boy, sweat. You owe me 2 more swings.
I was born for driving steel." Well, John Henry hammered in the mountain. He'd give a grunt, he'd give a groan with every swing. The women folks for miles around heard him and come down to watch him make the cold steel ring. Lord, what a swinger! Just listen to that cold steel ring. But the bad boss come up laughing at John Henry. Said, "You full of vinegar now, but you bout through. We gonna get a steam drill to do your share driving. What's all them muscles gonna do, huh, John Henry? Gonna take a little bit of vinegar out of you." John Henry said, "I feed 4 little brothers and baby sisters walking on her knees. Did the Lord say that machines ought to take the place of living? And what's a substitute for bread and beans? I ain't seen it. Do engines get rewarded for their steam?"
All right, we're going to stop off right there. But you want to...
Great line with that.
Comment on that.
So as you can see, when it's showing through, I know it's really hard to pay attention to lyrics if you don't have them pulled up in front of you. But short recap about John Henry. He was out there and his dad said, learn to do a bunch of things. Learn how to... lay track, learn how to lift a hammer, learn how to use a pickaxe, learn how to do everything so you can make a living out there. And he does, and he goes out and he makes a living and he starts laying tracks. He's working on these lines, and he's, in the end, as it goes on, he's being pit up against a steel driver, like a machine, to take the job from him. We end with that phrase, do engines get rewarded for their steam? Why would we pay you and reward you for doing this job when we have a machine that can do it?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up against it. He's like, you know what? I am better than this machine, and I will beat this machine. And he fights this machine with his hammer. He has this beautiful hammer. He goes up, he competes it, and he wins. This is a really cool instance where he wins against a machine. Like, he wins this battle.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's cheering him on, and they're like, do it, go for it, put it through. But then he goes home, and he's exhausted, and he ends up dying after talking to his wife. And then we end at the very end with talking about, to this day, his legend lives on, and so does the honor for him, talking about when the trains come by on the tracks that he laid, they slow down, and they hear him and they honor him where he was laid to rest.
And I think there's like a real statue of him where it supposedly like took place, even though like it's a legend.
That's so cool.
I don't know if people actually know the location, or I mean if he really beat the but I think there actually is a statue. So anyway, moving on to the next part, even though there's so much I want to talk about.
So much.
Like, Casey Jones was so good, and obviously so is this. But Beck included a couple modern iterations and continuance of the Appalachian song tradition, which are
Nose on the Grindstone by Tyler Childers, and then a John Henry by Jake Blunt, which is why John Henry was so important to include in this, because this idea that this music was frozen in time is something that can be pushed back against. Of course, people re-record it and talk about what happened, and that song tradition is orally passed down. They talk about it. They sing it to their kids, and the kids grow up singing it and playing the banjo and playing a dulcimer and playing the fiddle. But it is reinvented, and it's continued into modern songs and modern songwriters. I chose Tyler Childers specifically because he is a massive name when it comes to everything and anything. He just won a Grammy from one of his songs this past year. He's a massive name, and he brings in a lot of these ideas in this specific song, Nose on the Grindstone, of these people have been there, and they're told by their family to just work hard, stay there, work hard, stay out of it, and maybe one day you'll get out. This idea of always being stuck in the same space, though. John Henry is a really cool inclusion of this massive folk hero who, and all the great that he did. So we're gonna play those two, and there's so many other songs, but I think these two really iterate what I'm trying to get across with this music continues on.
Nose of the Grindstone. Hold on.
Daddy worked like a mule mining Pike County coal. He fucked up his back, couldn't work anymore. He said, one of these days you'll get out of these hills. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. See, the ways of this world just bring you to tears. Keep the Lord in your heart and you'll have nothing to fear. Live the best that you can and don't lie and don't steal. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Well, Daddy, I've been trying. I just can't catch a break. There's too much in this world that I can't seem to shake. But I remember your words, Lord, that bring me chills. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Keep in mind that a man's just as good as his word. It takes twice as long to build bridges you've burnt. And there's hurt you can cause, time alone cannot heal. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Well, Daddy, I've been trying. I just can't catch a break. There's too much in this world I can't seem to shake. But I remember your words, Lord, they bring me to chills. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Keep your nose on the grindstone.
This is the hammer, kill John Henry, laid him low.
This is the hammer. Kill John Henry. Let him low. Let him low. Take that hammer to your captain. Tell me he's gone. Tell me he's gone. Take that hammer to your captain. Tell me he's gone. Tell me he's gone.
Wow.
I love that song. I love the artist. It's by Jake Blunt. You should definitely give him a listen to if you're interested in modern roots music and what is coming out of the scene right now. There's so many good ones. But he is based in Rhode Island, actually, which is very interesting, but follows in this black folk music tradition. And really cool example of how these traditions continue on. This is generational information, generational music, generational stories that inform where it's been and how long it's been, where it's going. And you can kind of hear in this one and the last one, this reinvention of these old tales, these old stories, these folk heroes for a modern day and modern issues, which is very falling in line with folk tradition, which is beautiful.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm really glad that you included those two like contemporary songs, especially John Henry. I added that to my like songs, so I'm a listener.
Jake Blunt has a lot of really good songs. He has a lot of good music. He needs more people listening to him. I really love some of his other music too. He's been on my show several times.
Oh, I see. A Jake Blunt frequenter.
That I am.
Awesome. All right, well, it's approaching the hour, so I guess we have to wrap this up.